Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We are live on Video Store Clerks. What's up, everybody? We are here again for another night that we're very excited about. We are your Video Store Clerks. I'm Dave.
Jemmy.
I'm Chuck. Oh,
got him as he was taking a drag. And we are here tonight to talk about legendary comedian, legendary actor, the man credited with saving Saturday Night Live back in the 80s, started his stand-up career at the age of 15, and I don't think anybody has had the roller coaster career of up and downs that this man, Eddie Murphy, has had. What do you guys think?
I've always been a big fan of Eddie Murphy.
I've always been a big fan of Eddie Murphy's older movies, and I like his stand-up.
Yeah.
Good shit. And we're going to talk about all that and more tonight on Video Store Clerks. Meow, meow.
It's not a legacy I want to leave behind, but I am Chuck Nasty.
How the fuck am I out of this place today? This shit can't be any fucking good.
Welcome to the store.
Wait. Damn, the chat is open. The store is opened. Once again tonight, welcome to Video Store Clerks. It is. There we go. Eddie Murphy night. Party all the time. We are here to party. We are here to talk about Eddie Murphy movies right here on Video Store Clerks. Thank you again for joining us. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. If this is your first time joining us, we are three middle-aged men that are stuck in a video store. We haven't been paid in 15 years. We have nothing else to do because we have no customers. So we thought, what the hell? Let's do a podcast and share our minds with the world.
Amazing.
Indeed. And the way we do things is we rank some of our favorite movies, top threes. We start at the bottom, work our way up, and hey, these guys make a lot of good movies. So if there's a movie not on our list, that doesn't mean we don't like it. That just means, I don't know what it means.
It didn't make our list.
It's our opinion.
We only have three.
Yeah.
That's all we can do.
Three's tough and five takes too long.
It's true.
Yes, yeah, so last week's episode was freaking ridiculous. We were tasked with picking only three of our favorite Samuel L. Jackson movies, but it was still a lot of fun. So this one was a little bit easier because I don't think Eddie Murphy has done 152 movies like Samuel L. Jackson did. But still a lot of fun. So, hey, join us in the chat. Let us know what your three favorite picks are. It's what we do. It's what we do here on Video Store Clerks.
Amazing.
Yes. So let's start at number three. I'm going to go with The Golden Child.
Ah, yes.
This movie, believe it or not, was not well received when it came out. And Eddie Murphy himself has gone on record and saying it was a piece of shit. I don't know. Do you
I
guys
always
agree?
Liked it.
I love it. It's actually my number two.
Oh, spoiler.
It was actually almost on my list. I always liked it. The reason I liked it as a kid was because the aspect of it being kind of thrillerist, you know, thriller-like, mm-hmm. You know, like, what was it, the blood pudding or whatever the fuck, the blood bread or whatever it was they find on the stove?
Blood oatmeal.
The blood oatmeal. That always stuck with me. You remember when they used to have that oatmeal that had the flavors that you could put in it with the different colors?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so every time that I saw a red one of those in oatmeal, the only thing I could think about was blood. And I wanted to vomit, making other people want to vomit. Yeah. It always stuck with me, that scene.
No doubt.
I always thought that was disgusting. Like, that part in the movie, like, it's like an extreme close-up of him.
See, I always remember, like, the one whenever, like, the little kid's fucking doing, playing, putting on the Ritz with the Pepsi can.
That was kind of freaky. It was like that stop-motion Pepsi.
Dancing around.
Yeah, it was weird. Well, let's take a look.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Joe.
I was gonna say it always freaked me out because I got a fear of heights, and that scene where he's on that single thing that just goes all the way down.
That post floor.
Yeah, yeah, no, that shit like that really scares the living fuck out of me. Roll it.
Eddie Murphy is the chosen one.
He is the chosen.
In The Golden Child.
He's Jewish.
I humbly beg you, let us have the knife.
Let him ask it. I said, I want the knife. Let him ask again. I want the knife. Please.
Such a good fucking movie. I actually watched that movie.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. I think it's gotten better with time too. And Eddie Murphy is always his best when he's wise cracking his ass off.
Yes.
I think that this movie is the only one I still have on DVD of his. Well, wait, I have his stand-ups. But I was looking through my movies earlier and I can't find, I hadn't gone through all my VHS, so I might have something of his in there. But it's like the only one that I own of him still. So that's a good thing, right?
I've always liked that movie. Like I said, like
I always thought it was cool.
Like that Asian aspect to it too. And like that was always, like I said that before in other episodes, like I loved watching like the old Kung Fu movies and shit. So anything
as a kid, I did, yeah.
Asian stuff in general, just it gets me.
And it's also fun seeing like somebody like Eddie Murphy being put in a different element. Right. Yeah, I'm a sucker for that shit. You put somebody that's a well-known like wise guy or smart ass and then put him in a different time period or a different situation that, you know, I don't know.
Well, originally the character of Chandler Jarrell was supposed to be Mel Gibson and John Carpenter was going to direct it. But then he went to do Big Trouble in Little China instead.
Ah, okay. I forgot that Egg Shan was in there.
Yeah. Victor Wong.
Yeah. Yeah. That's his name. I never know his name. I always forget it. So I don't even try to memorize it anymore.
Yeah, that one scene where he fucking is sitting in the alleyway whenever he first meets Eddie Murphy's character. And then, like, he buys a necklace from him and he snatches the $100 bill.
Yeah.
And then he like disappears out of his clothes somehow and Eddie Murphy's just standing there holding his clothes and he comes running around the corner. He's like, you see a little naked man running around with the $100 bill in his hand? Love that fucking scene.
That's the guy that took my money.
Yeah, it was a fairly serious movie for a comedy at that time period. It kind of, you almost could put it with like I mean, some other, like, you know, like when it comes to action movies that kind of go into a little darker subjects. Like, talking about Cobra, which, by the way, eBay, I just got my copy in. fuck it, I'm going to watch that goddamn movie. Fuck.
You still haven't watched it? Oh.
I haven't got a chance to watch it yet, but I'm dying to. It came with Tango and Cash also, but anyway. But movies that aren't usually, like, the actors aren't usually in, like, certain types of films. And this one, you know, because, I mean, he did Beverly Hills Cop before this one, right?
No.
No, this is before Beverly Hills Cop. Okay. Well, like, I don't know. Then maybe everything I'm saying is completely, like, flawed.
Well, Beverly Hills Cop was 84.
What's kind of funny, though, is, like, it said, like, apparently John Carpenter only did 12 weeks of pre-production for Big Trouble because he wanted it to come out before Golden Child did.
Hmm.
He released it 6 months before Golden Child came out.
He got thing screwed is over the, every which way for that movie.
Is that with the premise of Golden Child and the premise of Big Trouble in Little China, it would make sense that John Carpenter like was almost the one that fucking made it.
I mean, they have technically like in a roundabout way like the same story and premise kind of. Except for instead of being like a little kid, he was just trying to get Egg Shen from, or keeping Lopan away from pretty much running the world. And then if the demon would have killed the golden child, which was actually in the movie was a boy, but it was actually played by a girl with a shaved head. And then they changed her name in the credits so she didn't have to grow up all of her life. Like she could still have a normal life.
Oh, wow. I didn't know about that.
interesting. And Charles Dance is the fucking the demon.
Of course.
Can't beat old Charles Dance.
Always a good bad guy.
Good times.
Well, there it is, the Golden Child, and I guess we'll come back to it here in a little bit.
We shall. We shall.
But for now, what's your number three, sir?
My number three. We're gonna go. This was a tough one for me because I like Eddie Murphy a lot. I'm gonna say Trading Places.
That's a good one.
This is the looking good Billy Ray feeling good Lewis shirt. Quote from the end of the movie.
Nice.
That was always a good movie. Like, it's just funny from the beginning to end. Like, apparently, like, John Landis didn't even know who Eddie Murphy was until that movie.
It takes place in Philadelphia. I've watched that one forever.
It's a good one. It came out in, I think, 82. I know.
Yeah.
That was later.
Yeah, it was 84, 85.
Yeah, I think.
Is that the one where Dan Aykroyd, like, at some point ends up being, like, a homeless?
Yeah, he's, like, a stockbroker. And then Eddie Murphy's a bum. And then they swap, pretty much just swap places, all because of a bet that Duke and Duke.
They bet
Duke
a dollar.
Bet a dollar.
That's what it was.
Yeah, the Duke brothers bet a dollar. They could take a criminal and turn him straight, and then take a hardworking businessman and make him a criminal.
Yeah. It is a damn good movie.
It really is. And plus, you see Jamie Lee Curtis' dots.
Yeah, a couple times.
Yeah.
It's true.
And she's just bad. And what? Jim Belushi, she's in it?
Yeah.
There's a lot of different characters. Like, a bunch of guys from, like, SNL were in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Franken.
Yeah. And Dan Aykroyd, of course.
Of course.
I mean,
shall we watch a clip?
We shall.
We should.
Beef jerky time. You want some beef jerky?
that's a good scene.
Oh, Paul Gleason. The principal in the Breakfast Club.
Yep.
I don't know. For some reason, when he said beef jerky time, I was cracking up. I don't know why that was so
beef
funny.
Jerky?
I always liked that fucking movie. The very beginning, whenever fucking Eddie Murphy's like acting like he's blind and cannot walk because he has no legs, and he's just strolling through the park on a little board, and then the fucking cops pick him up, and he's like, "I have legs. I can see."
And the dude that played Gus on Breaking Bad, I always forget his name. Well, he was in it for a second. He was in jail with Eddie Murphy when he got arrested.
Yeah.
I can't think of what his name is.
Yeah. Man, when they brought you in here, you was crying like a bitch. Yeah.
Yeah, he was Gus in Breaking Bad, and he was in Star Wars, in The Mandalorian, I mean.
He always plays kind of like a tough ass in most of these ends.
Yeah. Very, very, very young in this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, there it is. Trading Places.
Classic. Definitely a classic.
It really is. It's a good, fun movie. If no one has seen it, they should watch it.
If you're
gonna laugh. It's a little on the racy side in some parts. It's still a good movie.
I can't do Eddie Murphy's laugh, but
nobody can.
Mm-hmm. No.
We were just talking about Ray Liotta's laugh earlier, too. Like, it's fucking perfect.
Oh, yeah. There's somebody we need to do an episode on.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, what's your number three there, Chuckles?
My number three is my number three for the very reason of the fact for the fact that I think it was the first Eddie Murphy movie I saw. And I was very young. And I had no business watching it, but it became one of my favorite movies. That's Coming to America. That was a movie that Yeah, oh, it's hilarious. I mean, it holds up. It really, I mean, Sam Jackson's like, you know, in a small role in it.
Oh, Chuck, I swear to God, you're in my head.
Dave's got a clip.
Shall we?
Anybody move, I'll blow your fucking head off. Come on! Stop stalling! Come on! Don't stall me! All of it!
Excuse me for a moment. It would be wise for you to put the weapon down.
Who the fuck is this asshole?
Please refrain from using any further obscenities in the presence of these people.
What?
I've warned you. I'll be forced to thrash you.
Fuck you!
I don't know. You manage to do that like every week.
What?
What's that?
What?
I thought I heard a hum.
Yeah, somebody, my buddies was trying to video call me. He doesn't seem to know when I'm on a podcast.
Oh.
Which I've only been doing it for fucking months now. But, you know, whatever. That's cool.
You should be watching the shit if he can call you.
Yes, right?
I mean, I wasn't gonna say that, but yeah. Got a lot of friends that could be watching the fucking thing right now. But anyway, whatever.
Right?
Coming to America, man, it always just made me laugh. That scene in particular, I always thought was just badass. Is he takes Sam Jackson out like so quick, but like you know, but I always thought Sam Jackson was funny. I didn't know who he was when I saw that. Obviously,
like you went for years and years, and I was like, "Oh yeah, he was that guy." I think it was the first Eddie Murphy movie I saw too. I'm not positive.
It was probably one of the first ones I've seen as well.
It was always on HBO.
It really was.
It was always on HBO, and my dad used to tape everything. And we had it, and I watched it quite a bit. I always thought it was funny that, you know, I thought I watched Arsenio Hall when I was younger. Because I've always been a fucking night owl, even though I was a fucking kid.
I still remember that episode where he had Jason on, and he just kind of
sat. Yeah. That was probably one of the best.
Yeah.
Arsenio Hall was generally freaked out by that. Like, it was because he said in an interview at one point that he knew that it was a guy in a suit, but.
Yeah, Kane was in character the whole time.
Yeah, he was perfect. But I always liked the duo thing of Arsenio Hall and Eddie Murphy. They work so good together. They really do. I haven't seen the sequel. I've been afraid to watch it.
It's not.
I heard it wasn't good either, though.
No, I didn't say it was good. Just said it wasn't bearable.
It's bearable.
I was just answering your question, Chuck.
Yeah. No, I also, because where I do like this movie a lot, but I don't want it to be like tainted by a horrible fucking like cash fucking, you know.
I mean, none of the 30 year later sequels have actually done well.
Just too much time had gone by. And James Earl Jones is even in the sequel for a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
it has like the whole original cast in there, pretty much. Like John Amos is in there.
Yeah, it's good to see everybody back, but I think James Earl Jones is in his late 80s, early 90s.
Hey, he's still voicing Darth Vader.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Much respect to that motherfucker. He's got one of the greatest voices in like American film history, for obvious reasons. But you know, I mean, there was so much that I learned from this movie. Also, let's just, you know, because I was so young watching this movie. You know, I learned what the word fuck was. Fuck you. No, fuck you. You know, fuck you too, my friend. You know, that shit. My mom had, this was one movie that when I was a kid, my mom had a lot of trouble trying to explain shit to me. Because I'd watch the fucking movie and I'd have questions because I've always been that fucking kid. And mom had to explain to me because I was like, Mom, we were driving. I don't know how the fuck I remember this, but we were driving somewhere. And I looked at mom and I was like, Mom, what's fuck mean? And she just about fucking like wrecked into another car. And she explained to me. Well, my mom's explanation of what the word fuck means is she's like, it's another word for rape. Don't use it.
And you're like, what's rape?
Yeah. And I was like, but why was he telling her to fuck you? So as a kid, I was just like, so he's just saying rape, and just, you know, until I got older, I learned some shit. But also, there's a lot of beautiful titties in this movie. I wonder my parents' choices and allowing me to watch what I watched. Like I had a nice collection of movies that were taken for me, because the therapist said so. like both of them, all three. This was one of those movies that for some reason it never got taken away from me. Like my parents thought the horror movies were like an issue, and I'm over here watching fucking Coming to America, and I'm seeing this chick come out of a fucking pool. The royal penis is clean, Your Highness. wait a minute. Whoa. Somebody will do that for you?
How do we get that, Mom?
Yeah. And again, like I had Red Scorpion taken from me. I wish I still had that VHS. I had, you know, my Terminator movies taken from me. I had all that violent shit, whatever. And Coming to America, honestly, thinking about it, really, man, it really did kind of fuck me up. I got into a few things as a youngster because of this movie. And I became, I knew, you know, I thank you, Eddie Murphy, for making me a foul mouth kid.
Thank you, Eddie Murphy.
Oh, I feel that.
Coming to America, comedy classic.
I know they had like a lot of stuff going on with that movie whenever they were making it. Like they had just, I remember watching some shit on that. Or is that show on Netflix or whatever, like the things that we watched when we were kids.
Yeah.
Like they had that on there. And apparently, like, I guess Eddie Murphy and Landis got into a big fight or something because Eddie Murphy had this big entourage with him because he was like really big star back in.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just didn't like them all being around.
Yeah.
And like they actually apparently got into like a fist fight.
Oh shit. I didn't know about that. I knew there was some kind of argument, but I didn't know there was a fist fight about it.
Yeah. And like within like a day they were back, they were fine.
That's the way shit works. You just got to get your shit out sometimes.
Sometimes. It's the best way to
do it. I got to say, one of my favorite things about Eddie Murphy is his whole thing about Bill Cosby. That's one of like
Richard Pryor conversation?
Yes.
I almost put that clip in. I actually did have it, but we ran out of space.
Oh, shit. Because that's where a lot of that respect comes from. Because
tell Bill to have a Coke and a smile and shut the fuck up.
You tell a motherfucker to call me. Oh, fuck yeah. Like, you know, the fact that because at the time we didn't know Bill Cosby really was a piece of shit. And Eddie Murphy had no problem being like, hey, fuck you, you know, Dr. Huxtable or whatever the fuck it was that time. But yeah, I wish you did have that clip because that is fucking hilarious.
I had that one. What was the other one? The fuck you, Eddie!
I want half.
He had a funny story about Rodney Dangerfield, too, because he started doing stand-up when he was 15, and he said, like, his stand-up back then was dirtier than the shit he did now. So adults in the crowd were like, hearing this kid up there, and he said he ran into Rodney Dangerfield in the back, and he was like, so what are you going to do with this? How are you going to move forward with this act? And then about 7 years later, he met him in the bathroom.
Was it SNL or whatever? And
Dangerfield was like, ah, who knew, huh?
Yeah. He's like, yeah, who knew? Yeah, he told me, yeah, I know the story you're talking about. Because he told me, he was like, yeah, dude, you're using so much foul language and just being so vulgar or whatever. It's not going to go anywhere. And then, he ran to me and he's just like, who knew?
Your impression was way better than mine.
Let me tell you, it's crazy.
No respect.
No respect at all, let me tell you.
Dangerfield's really good in Caddyshack.
Ladybug.
I love Roddy Dangerfield so much that I bought the box set that came out like fucking 15 years ago. Mm. Which is like, it's a bunch of his like stand-up stuff and specials and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Classic.
Yeah. No, this is just like all the documentaries and stand-up stuff. This is like, I've got like the Rodney Dangerfield show that like had Roseanne on there and Andrew Dice Clay and Sam Kinison, mm-hmm. like when they were first starting out.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I learned about a lot of my
we'll have comedians. To do an episode of like comedians that became successful actors.
Dude, I am totally down for that shit. Completely down for that shit. It's little known.
Okay.
Oh, I was gonna say little known fact. Being a comedian is something I always wanted to do.
Me too. That's weird.
No, it actually makes perfect sense.
I don't like group speaking.
I think that's why I don't like
being on stage by myself. Mm. That freaks me out.
Right.
I have nobody to look at and be like, oh yeah, we're joking around.
Yeah, I got nothing but respect for comedians, especially the ones that aren't funny. Because they still have more balls than I do with standing up there and talking in front of like 80 people or whatever.
Uh-huh.
You ever watch Kill Tony?
Watch what?
Kill Tony.
Huh.
Go. You need to check out Kill Tony. It's on YouTube at some point. Seriously, like, because I know we're talking about something different right now, but Kill Tony. It's one of the funniest fucking like podcast comedy shows. It's cool as fuck. Yeah. It's actually got me wanting to do the whole comedy thing again. But whatever. That's a whole other thing here. Sorry. I'm not talking about me and my aspirations. I'm talking about Eddie Murphy.
Well, I was lucky because whenever I was on stage, I could always just take my glasses off. In between being blind and the lights.
Yeah.
I couldn't see anything. But anyway, where are we at? We're back to me. Two? Number two. I'm going to say Beverly Hills Cop.
Good one.
The 1984 classic that launched Eddie Murphy into superstardom. And I got a clip because one of the unsung heroes of this movie, and I think maybe besides Eddie Murphy, my favorite character. So we're going to watch him right now.
Sweet.
When you do that,
stop then, all right?
Childish.
Is that fucking Foley in here?
All right, there's Todd. It's showtime, okay?
Hey, boss, I know what you're gonna say, but
you mind telling me where the fuck you come off going undercover without authorization? I mean, what the fuck is this all about? You wanna play some fucking bullshit cowboy cop? Go do it in somebody else's precinct.
Don't you wanna hear my side of the story?
What's your fucking side of the story?
Yeah. I love the captain.
Yeah. Yeah, he's always that he was kind of that stereotypical like cop, you know, sergeant or whatever the fuck, mm-hmm. just like said fuck after every sentence or whatever, which even comes back into play in Beverly Hills Cop 3. But
oh god, well, yeah, the third one I did not like the third one at all.
Oh, we're gonna talk about it.
It was okay, good. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, but anyway. This is a fucking classic movie. I mean, this really is.
And it later, apparently there was, they're shooting the fourth one now.
I heard about that. And because of this episode.
Goddamn right. That's why we need to be put in charge.
Amazing.
Thank you.
That's slightly creepy.
This, it is.
It works though, but creepy.
And I didn't know, but in 2013, they launched a TV series. They did a pilot. It didn't get picked up, but strangely, the test screenings went really well, and that's what led to, okay, we can do a fourth one, which makes no sense. Mm-hmm. Why didn't you pick it up then?
Hollywood likes to reach for the straws. You know what I mean? Like, when it comes down to their ideas anymore. If you actually think about it, in the last 20 years, we've had different movies and whatever the fuck, but look at how many fucking reboots or remakes there's been.
It's always a safe bet, or so they think.
That they think. Whew, we've talked about a few of those sinkers, haven't we, boys?
Mm-hmm. In some movies, it's kind of a shame because they just throw that name on there mm-hmm. when the script's actually not bad. I've never seen it, but I heard the Child's Play remake actually wasn't too bad if it wasn't called Child's Play. And it's the same with the RoboCop remake. It might have been all right had it just not been...
Yeah, I mean, even being RoboCop, it wasn't terrible, though.
That's what I said. I never saw that one. I liked the Child's Play reboot idea. It was kind of cool.
I just didn't like the way the doll looked in that one.
It was weird.
Big-ass fucking watermelon-looking head. It was just like the size of a fucking, I don't know. It was just goofy.
Did somebody say watermelon?
What is that?
This is Johnny Bootlegger, Juicy Joint Watermelon, Watermelon Shot. You can get them at your local convenience stores. 12% alcohol volume. It was a gift from a friend earlier.
We need to have sponsors.
We really fucking do. Shutter! Shutter! Hey, are you in there somewhere, you asshole?
We haven't had a Shutter reference in a while.
No, we haven't. Shutter.
We got to watch the Shutter.
Yeah, that is it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we are creeping up on Halloween, folks. I think we need to get back to
a Shutter special episode.
What we should do? Well, we'll talk. Let's just remember this.
We'll talk.
We'll get down to the basics. Eh?
I didn't know Mickey Rourke was supposed to play Axel Foley at first, too.
They had a couple people in mind for.
That would have been a way different fucking movie. Like it's crazy to think about the people that were actually like they could have been. Just like with fucking Frank Sinatra was almost fucking Dirty Harry.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
How the fuck would he hold a goddamn gun? One cigarette. He has a cigarette in one hand and a martini in the other. I don't really know how.
He was John McClane too, wasn't he? Was that Sinatra?
No, that was was it? No, that wasn't Sinatra. That was somebody else that was like similar.
We did just watch some kind of thing.
It was the other guy.
Could you imagine though? Go ahead and make my day. Did he fire all six shots or only five?
Yeah, I think there was like five different people that were up for Axel Foley.
Apparently, like they said, Stallone might have actually quit because he didn't like the orange juice that they had in his trailer.
I would think there was more to it than that.
That's what I was reading about. That's right. They were trying to say orange juice might have been the reason for Stallone walking off the set of Beverly Hills Cop.
Because Stallone wanted it to be more serious. Because the script that he wanted to do, he rewrote it to be more serious and cut out all the comedy. And that script eventually became Cobra. Which is so weird because we were just freaking talking about that.
Right.
It's like the 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Come full circle.
We really are. Yeah. Ryan James seems to be in all these fucking movies too.
Oh my gosh. At first I was just like the only other movie I've seen him in is The Fifth Element. But since we started doing this, I see him in every movie.
He was the fucking the 90s and like the late 80s.
Yeah.
Which guy are you talking about?
Ryan James.
Which one is he?
He
was in The Fifth Element.
Yeah, he was like the general or whatever in The Fifth Element.
He was the bad guy in a couple Van Damme movies.
The bad guy, in Tango and Cash.
He's a real big guy. He has that funny-shaped nose and usually has a goatee.
Yeah, he's usually he's also in 48 Hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good guy in 48 Hours. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, but okay, yeah, I never can remember his fucking name. Yeah, Shocker. Either, but
now that I've seen him so many times now, like I always see his fucking name in the opening credits for all these fucking like 80s and 90s movies.
Wait, who was he in Shocker?
No, I wasn't. Not Shocker.
It was no. You're thinking of the horror show, the unofficial House 3. He's the main bad guy in that. Him and Lance Henriksen is going after him in that. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's funny because you're not the first person I've talked to who got those two like confused.
Yeah,
it makes perfect sense though.
Anyway, he's in every fucking thing.
He really was. Okay, well,
keep the train going. There it is, Beverly Hills Cop. What's your number two, sir?
I have to go back to The Golden Child. That would be my number two. I struggle between my number two and my number one. They flip-flopped probably 10 times since this afternoon.
Yeah, I can dig that.
But I don't know. Like I said before, like I always loved that movie. Like, it was just great. Plus, like the one lady down in the basement was just like a giant rattlesnake, like half woman, half rattlesnake.
Yeah, that was so freaky.
And then just the fucking the knife alone looked dope.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm pretty sure we covered that pretty well. But yeah, like that movie, I used to watch that probably more than like Coming to America and shit whenever I was a kid. just because it had that little kid in it. So, like, I knew, like, all these demons and shit weren't going to scare me, you know what I mean? It was always weird because, like, horror movies that had, like, kids in it and they were, like, somewhat like a co-star type kind of thing, like, those movies never freaked me out. But then, like, if I watched, like, some fucking other scary movie like Hellraiser or something, then I'd freak out.
Makes sense. When it came to The Golden Child, there was a reason, because he did come to America before that, right?
I forget what order he came out.
It was Golden Child, then Coming to America. I think Coming to America was 87, 88.
I'm thinking the reason that I watched Golden Child was because of Coming to America. Because it was on TNT. And I saw the TV guides. For those that aren't familiar, TV guides are these little books they used to have that told you what was coming on the TV. You couldn't just go to a fucking special channel when it told you what was going to be on. You had to actually read. So I would go through and look at five movies that I wanted to watch. And I would usually go by actors and directors. And it told you all that shit, the TV guide. Mm-hmm. I watched Coming to America, obviously, for years. And then it was on. Golden Child was on TNT, and I saw it was going to be on TNT, and I was like, "Oh, Eddie Murphy? Okay, yeah, he's in that Coming to America," and that's why I ended up watching it. And it was just weird because I had seen Coming to America, and I remembered, and like I'd seen stuff with him on for like SNL, and it just
it came out in '86,
pretty dark film.
No. Which one? A Golden Child?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Came out in 86.
All right. Speaking of Charles Dance.
This year here is towards the end of the movie. And this is one of my favorite scenes.
My dear sweet brother Noopsie! I can see you're busy right now. Come back some other time.
Yeah.
Bye.
Because even though it was like supposed to be like a thriller type, like scary type kind of movie, like it still had its moments where it was funny as fuck.
Oh, I remember being funny. It
was stupid hot.
Oh yeah.
She was a supermodel apparently, but that's why they got her, because they couldn't find anybody they wanted to get.
Oh.
So then they got her.
I was going to say
a lot of movies were in the 80s. Else?
Huh?
I'd say a lot of that was how it was with a lot, like in the 80s and early 90s,
right.
Was like supermodels. Yeah. Why do you think that Cindy Crawford was able to be in movies? It wasn't because she had a good acting skill.
So we were watching some shit earlier that had Anna Nicole Smith in it, and good God, she's
Ooh.
Terrible.
Ooh, it was bad.
Oh. Rest in peace, old Anna Nicole.
It was a tough
Boy, did you leave your child with a mess.
It was hard to watch.
Yeah, poor thing. I always liked old Anna Nicole.
I didn't know, probably till recently, that the Golden Child was a girl. Because I saw that picture with those two together.
Yeah, they had that picture.
And I was like, oh, wow.
And like one of the guys that was in the movie, I think he played like the Yellow Dragon guy. Like that was Kirk Douglas's son.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's dead now.
Was it one of the Thunder Gods in it too? He got killed outside in the alley.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was.
I couldn't tell. Like he looked so much younger than he did in Big Trouble in Little China for some reason. I don't know if it was how they shot him or what. But.
Yeah, I don't know. Even old James.
Which
Holmes
one was it?
He was one of the dudes that he went into the restaurant.
He was one of the storms. That guy?
Yeah, which storm was it?
The one with the long hair.
The swords.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I know you're talking about. Looks like a really angry woman.
Peter Kwong.
Peter Kwong.
I will never memorize any Chinese Asian actor's name.
But then James Hong was in it too, so.
Yeah,
Carpenter would have got to do both movies.
That would have been pretty sweet, actually.
Yeah, he would have been with Victor Wong and James Wong.
I think he would have did good with the Golden Child. That was right up his alley.
Who was it?
Carpenter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I think it would have made sense if John Carpenter would have had some kind of say in that movie.
Right.
There's some names you hear that, like, such and such was approached for this, and you're just like, what the fuck? Really? But would you, with John Carpenter, it's like, oh, that might have been good, actually.
Yeah. Apparently, whenever Eddie Murphy decided to do the role, he had, like, a pick between 20 other scripts at the time. He was really just blowing up then.
Mm-hmm.
So he had just scripts flying at him all day. Then he read that one and was like, yeah, this is cool.
Because when he blew up, man, he fucking blew up. For our younger viewers out there, if you don't know, Eddie Murphy was probably the most famous person in the world there for a while.
Before Dr. Dolittle.
Yes, before Dr. Dolittle.
He wore high heels. He wore high heels and leather pants before it was trendy.
Fucking right. Like, his highs were really high, but his lows were really low.
He made fun and dressed like Michael Jackson all at the same time.
He did.
Yeah. Yeah.
He made fun of Michael Jackson and Mike Tyson right to their faces.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, when it comes to Eddie Murphy, he, at the time that he was really up here, he was kind of like that time period, like, you know, the Dave Chappelle.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't, you know, nobody was safe. It didn't fucking, you know. And actually, the fucked up thing is what actually, because, I mean, are we going to just ignore what kind of fucked him up for a while?
Which part?
The main one was when he picked up the transvestite prostitute.
Yeah, yeah.
That fucked him up just a little bit with some shit.
Yeah, and what I didn't know, found out doing this, was that apparently the prostitute he picked up a year later mysteriously died, and it was at the same time she was going to do a tell-all book.
Oh, I didn't know about that. That's kind of fucked.
And yeah, that's because nobody talked about it after it happened. I didn't even remember that at all. I think it was 97 that happened.
Yeah.
But I didn't remember hearing about it at all.
She gone.
So
she gone.
I'm just relaying the information. I just work in a video store. I just give out the information.
What do you got for number deuce?
No, my number two, I'm going to say, is Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Interesting.
It is very interesting, because I knew that you all were going to probably have this opinion. But it was the first Beverly Hills Cop movie I ever watched. There was a time period in my life where I wanted to buy all the R-rated movies that look cool. And the cover of it, because I had it on VHS, and it was Eddie Murphy, and he had a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And it said Beverly Hills Cop 3. And I was like, all right, cool. And my mom bought it for me. And I watched it all the fucking time because I thought it was funny. I thought it was actually really funny. I still think it's a funny movie. But it's just the one that sticks out to me more, just because, and again, I haven't watched Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 2 that many times in my life. I've probably watched Beverly Hills Cop 3, well, probably more than I'd like to admit. But it just, I don't know, it's always one that always just kind of stuck with me, just like Coming to America. Huh?
Can you do the okie dokie shuffle?
Okay, dokie, okay, dokie, okay, or whatever the fuck it is. Like, and I still, like, my whole, like, since I watched that, I still fucking do that shit. Like, right. When I'm fucking around with, like, being stupid with my kid or whatever, I'd be like, okay, dokie, okay. Like, I do that shit. I have friends that, like, I'd be like, all right, okay, dokie, okay. I'm like, what? Don't ask. Yeah. It's shit that sticks with you. But I remember just laughing my ass off of that fucking movie. Good little, like, comedy action film. It's not as serious as, you know, it didn't have a real serious streak to it like the first two had hints of, you know, because I mean they're all good. I mean, I've watched them all, they're all good, but yeah, three, it's just a fun movie. It was fun.
You could tell it was like, out of the three, you can tell that one was kind of like dumbed down somewhat for like family viewing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it happened to all of them.
Yeah.
Like, I always think it's funny whenever he's running through like the train town, and he steps on the train, and the train's like, wah, and then like dies out.
Like I
Wonderworld.
Wonderworld.
I'm the head of the DGGJZZC.
Yeah. The what? Yeah, Judge Ron Hold, man. I always liked him too. He always cracked me up.
Like always like Melky.
Oh God, yeah. Bronson Pinchot.
Oh yeah. Because he's watching a video in that store about guns, girls with guns. Remember?
Yeah.
And we talked about Sam Jackson last week, and in Jackie Brown, Sam Jackson's watching the same video.
That fucking gun they have though, that shit was goofy. Had a radio on it, fucking shot nets.
Like, yeah. I almost forgot about that whole scene where he's just like, oh, we had this. Like, yeah, he's Bronson Pinchot. Like, he was fucking hilarious.
And then fucking George Lucas is in it.
Oh, that's right.
Is he?
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah, that one, whenever he jumps on that one ride when he's getting chased by security.
Oh, yeah.
On that little spindle thing and, like, the kids almost fall out of it and he saves them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm also a sucker for, like, movies that have to do with, like, amusement parks. Like, horror movies, action movies, whatever. There's something that I like, there's somebody that's got to go save the day at an amusement park, or there's, you know, killer carnies on the loose in an amusement park, that kind of shit. Yeah. I'm a sucker for that kind of shit. How many times did I just say shit? 6 times.
Like, all movies during that time got dumbed down with the sequels that have Police Academy, RoboCop. It happened to all of them. I don't even think the captain dropped one F-bomb. I think he was about to when he got shot. Spoiler.
I thought at the beginning of it, because what was Beverly Hills Cop 3, was it PG-13 or was it R?
It probably was PG-13.
Probably was.
I can't remember. But I thought when, like, because I thought when the captain died at the beginning of him, what the fuck did he say to him?
I think he said, get those sons of bitches or something. It was something like that.
Okay. I knew it was something of that nature. Because remember, Foley's on the phone with his wife. Because Foley is on the phone with his wife, and she's like, did he say anything about me? Like, he's like, yeah, he actually, like, you know, the last words he spoke were about you. And he's like, he loves you? And she's like, no, he didn't. What did he really say? And he was just like, yeah, it was like, get them motherfuckers, get them assholes, something like that. Yeah. So I don't know.
They're all hard sequels to write. You know, you shoot yourself in the foot by calling it Beverly Hills Cop, because how many times can you get a Detroit detective out to Beverly Hills to solve a crime? I mean, how many times can you do that, right?
Barely four.
Yeah, barely four. but originally, the third one was, they were determined to set him in London for some reason. But the budget was too high. The budget would have set him back probably $70 or $80 million. So Silver and then dropped out. It wasn't any of the same people that did the third one. As they were doing the third one, the budget ended up ballooning up to $70 million anyway. So, and I think Eddie Murphy got paid $15 million to. And this is in 1994. He got paid $15 million to come back and do the third one.
Shit,
I'd have did it too. Fuck it.
I mean, yeah.
I always liked the whole trilogy because you can see Rosewood growing as a cop. Like the second one, he's all about like fucking Cobra and turning into Rambo and has an arsenal in his fucking trunk.
Yeah.
And then this one, he's like protecting little kids and he's in charge of the whole fucking city.
Yeah. And you could argue that Axel was more mature because this was 10 years after the first one.
Right.
But that's what made Axel Foley so funny and so likable, was his wisecracking, street smart, cool detective. But that's fine. But I do work in a video store, so.
Right.
So Beverly Hills Cop 3. Yeah, that's my number two.
Good pick. So we've had Beverly Hills Cop 1 and 3. Nobody said 2 yet. Are we at the number 1? Oh, my God. We're at the number 1 spot already.
Numero uno.
Numero uno. And I'm going to say my number 1 is Coming to America. Like I said, yeah, I think it's the first Eddie Murphy movie I saw, too. Oh, wait. Are you going to say Beverly Hills Cop?
No.
No? Well, let's look at a scene for Beverly Hills Cop before we move on. Just because we can.
That's right.
Can I get some extra mayo?
Certainly, sir.
Thank you.
Ready to go?
Yeah.
There's the Mercedes. Will you get rid of that stuff?
And now that theme is going to be stuck in everybody's heads for at least 2 days. You're welcome.
I almost forgot about that fucking theme. Dun, 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 dun.
Every time I hear that song, I think of Peter Griffin singing it. And then another.
Yeah.
And that theme, they did that a lot in the 80s too, like Fletch, that music that was in that movie. Like, it would get stuck in your head for days. But anyway.
Fletch movies.
But my number one is Coming to America. I'm going to watch a clip now to get me in the mood. To get me feeling froggy.
Now this is the place that I was telling you about. It's real fucked up. Got just one window facing a brick wall. Used to rent it to a blind man.
Fucking blood on the wall.
Damn shame what they did to that dog.
Yeah, I always remember the
right. We will take the room.
He's just so happy about it. I think it's after that he goes out and yells, fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you too, my friend.
Such a great movie. I could always go back and watch that one. But yeah, the second one.
Surprised you didn't play the Soul Glow commercial.
Oh, I should have. Chocolate. Soul Glow.
Sexy chocolate.
Yeah. The, because Eddie Murphy plays the fucking the beauty pageant guy in it, and he plays the barbershop guys. Like, dude, yeah, he was awesome at that shit. So, this is a good movie. Remember the fucking Jerry curls of all those fucking guys in that movie?
Yes.
That was the whole thing. Was like I don't know, fucking goofy shit. That movie is like so nostalgic in so many fucking ways.
It is. Like I said, the second one borrowed a lot from the first one. You'll see a lot of the same.
It's pretty
bits.
Much the same fucking plot.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Where he's going to get his son.
I might watch it one day.
Well, that's my number one, Coming to America. We already talked about it for a little bit.
Coming.
I want to hear what your guys' number one.
My number one is going to be Eddie's first role with 48 Hours.
Oh. We're bringing out the classics tonight.
It's just a good fucking movie, man. Like,
that is
it's
a good
another one.
One
of them good buddy like cop films that came out back in like the 80s. They did that for a few years, you know what I mean?
That was one of the first ones.
Yeah, that was his very first big role.
With the buddy cop movies? I think that was one of the first ones.
Apparently, even in that movie, like,
you get out of my head.
No shit. Even in that movie, like, it was apparently like the way they did it, like, surprising, like, how good it became. Because apparently, they were writing the movie as they were filming it, and Nick Nolte and Eddie Murphy pretty much improvised all their fucking lines.
Wow.
Wow, that is kind of crazy.
Because originally, it was made for who was it? I think. Clint Eastwood and Richard Pryor.
Oh, wow.
That would have been... I would like to have seen that.
I want to see that, actually.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen that one. And then, but like, I can totally see that.
They ended up having like either, like, I think it was Stallone, Mickey Rourke, and Burt Reynolds were supposed to be Nick Nolte's character at first. And then they had Gregory Hines and Denzel up for playing Eddie Murphy's character.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So they had a lot of options.
Stallone pops up a lot.
I mean,
seemed, with all the movies he was in, it seems like he turned down a lot.
Yeah.
But, well, you know, sometimes you just can't do it. You know, you got
James Remar. Like, you can't beat him. Like, he played a really, really good villain. They said, like, he stayed up for days at a time just so he kept that psychotic look in his face.
I'm sure he did.
Oh, yeah.
But that movie, like, it has, I mean, it's kind of racy as well. They have a lot of back and forth jokes going on in there.
Yeah. Oh, Nicky. Yeah.
You know, when I clicked on that movie, 48 Hours, to watch it again, there was actually a warning label on it from Paramount Plus.
Oh, really?
That said how racy it was. Basically, how racy it was and how this movie came out at a different time.
It really did.
It all is. Which is true. Hmm. It was just weird. I'd never got that message before.
Look, the movie was supposed to be, like, based on a kidnapping. Like, somebody, I guess, one of the cops knew, like, they kidnapped his daughter. Like, pretty much the basic, like, storyline of every kind of, like, rogue cop type movie.
Yeah.
And then it just, like I said, as they were filming it, they just kept doing new shit.
I guess you don't have a script.
Then at the end of the day, they got a freaking movie that won 7 awards.
Maybe they just let them do that every time.
How well did the sequel do?
Not well.
Not real well, but it was good too.
I can't remember it as much as the first one. The second one isn't as memorable.
But I mean, it's funny because, like, that movie came out, what, 80, 82. 82, 83, yeah. And then it actually, whenever Commando came out, another full circle kind of thing, fucking they actually used the original score from 48 Hours to score Commando.
Wow. Oh, wow.
I didn't notice that at all.
No, it's kind of funny.
Yes.
Should we watch a clip?
We shall.
Yes.
Somehow Chuck knew that this was going to be the clip.
He really did.
I'm good like that.
You don't have to work for money. You don't have to say about it to the night. Rock the Rocks the put on a red light. Rocks the put on a red light.
You got a name, cop?
Yeah, those two couldn't be more different.
No, yeah, really. Considering how Nick Nolte is in real life, too. I wonder if they actually get along.
It was weird going back and actually seeing fucking, like, Walkmans and shit.
Yeah,
because he had it on both movies. Because in this one, he sang Roxanne all the time, and then the second one, he always sang "I Got a Feeling" by James Brown.
Yeah.
And the really weird thing was going back and watching these movies as people smoking indoors.
Yeah, especially in bars and everything.
Bars, hotels, airplanes,
grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, every fucking one.
Ashtrays at the end of every aisle, and, like, you know, right. Walmart type places.
Right. Like, it was fucking crazy.
Those were the days.
Those were the days.
It was really easy for me and my friends to, like, sneak cigarette butts that were, like, half smoked and, like, ashtrays.
Right.
Look at me now, Ma.
It was always funny in that movie. When's the last time you've seen that movie?
Like 2 days ago.
Huh.
But that was the first time in probably 30 years.
It's a good one. It's up there. Like, I think I might actually enjoy that one more than, like, Tango and Cash.
I hate to admit it. I did put on 48 Hours the other day. I did fall asleep, though. It was because it was real late, and I was trying to watch it, and certain mentality, I passed fucking
out. It happens.
Yeah. I've always loved that movie, though. Like I said, I don't remember the second one much, but that first one was killer.
It also had what the fuck's that chick's name? What's her name? O'Toole, I think. The one chick, she played in It.
Yeah. She played Nick Nolte's wife or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Smallville.
Yeah.
What's her first name? Annette?
No. I worry a lot.
I don't remember.
Where's our fact checkers tonight? What the hell's going on?
Nobody's, I don't know. Really.
Nobody's fans of Eddie Murphy, apparently, except for us.
I'm pretty sure it's Annette.
We had Annette O'Toole, I think.
That sounds very right, actually. It's some O'Toole.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, now I can sleep tonight. Thank you.
Anyway, that's my number one. It's hard to say a lot of stuff about that movie just because of some of the jokes.
Yeah, it was hard to find a clip.
You can't really quote anything because everything comes off as someone's bad. Usually after they joke around and say a joke, someone gets punched in the face.
And pretty much the whole scene that he was in the bar.
I fucking hate rednecks.
Yeah. Can't put any of that in. We'll be gone for sure.
Yeah. Can't
Reggie Hammond have that in common.
Can't do that. I kind of live in a redneck state.
I think it was funny too, though, like, because whenever they first get together, like, just using like the word Jack as slang, like Eddie Murphy's like, "You better calm down, Jack." He's like, "What fucking calling me that?" He's like, "Why? I just mean it as like slang." He's like, "Yeah, but that's my real fucking name."
It's a classic. Classic duo film.
And I'm pretty sure that's probably the closest thing to Nick Nolte ever did that really stands out, kind of.
Cape Fear.
Oh, yeah.
But besides that, no.
Right.
Wasn't there a Barbara Streisand movie he was in?
That's what I was thinking. There was some romantic movie he did.
Yeah, which doesn't matter with us.
Well, he did. I know he did some Western with the same dude that directed 48 Hours.
Yeah, but I can't remember
where that was in like 90.
Hmm. I feel like I know what you're talking about. Right, but I can't think of a name.
And apparently Eddie Murphy was worried because there was like the one scene where like the one chick smacks him with a baseball bat and it was a rubber bat, but he was worried about getting hit with it the whole time, and then she actually did smack him and hit him in the face.
Oh shit. I mean, rubber bat still wouldn't feel very nice.
No. Here we go. I just found it. Oh, that's even worse. So he was in a Western that's called Extreme Prejudice.
Oh,
jeez.
He's a Texas Ranger. So, yeah, we won't talk about that anymore.
Okay, move.
It's just a funny movie. Go watch it.
Yeah.
If you have thin skin, you'll probably be offended.
If you're a fan of Blazing Saddles, you can get through this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, easy.
Yeah, because it's kind of the same in a lot of ways.
Right. So what you got there for numero uno?
What's funny is my numero uno is one that most people would probably not pick.
Pluto Nash?
Vampire in Brooklyn.
Oh.
See, I had a feeling you were going to be on your list on that one.
That was on my list, too.
That's another one of those movies, man.
See, I was thinking you were going to pick that because I know you're more into horror than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
And it's just a good fucking movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what attracted me. That and Wes Craven. Back in the day when they had Columbia House, we were part of the CD, getting CDs and getting the VHSs, and my mom I got the rant. Like, everybody got to, me, my stepdad, my mom, my sister, we all got to pick out, like, they got to pick out, like, a couple of things, but I got to pick out everything else. And when it came to the VHSs, I was just kind of looking around, and Wes Craven, because at the time I was trying to collect whatever horror movies I could find, because me and my buddy John had a whole, like, thing. We were, like, you know, building up our horror VHSs.
You guys were the monster squad.
Basically, yeah, more ways than you'll realize, yeah. But I saw this in there. I saw Wes Craven. I saw Eddie Murphy on the front of it, and I was like, "The fuck is this?" So it came in the mail because I had no idea. Like the movies came in the mail. I opened the box up and I got them all out and stuff, and I was like, "I'm gonna watch this one first," because I don't remember what else I fucking ordered. But I'd never seen it, and I was like, well, it's Wes Craven. And I've always liked, you know, vampire, you know, ideology and shit like that. And it ended up being, like, pretty funny. It took me a couple of watches, because I watched it the first time, and I was like, okay. Then I watched it again, and I was like, all right. But the third time, like, I was laughing my ass off, and I saw it for what it was, and appreciated it, and I've always enjoyed it. I've always thought it was a pretty solid vampire spoof type movie. I don't think it doesn't get have the recognition that it deserves. I don't think Eddie Murphy is that proud of it. But it's a funny one. The plot's cool. And I think I've mentioned on here before, but either on here or Tells the Podcast, one, I know I mentioned on one, the scene with where Eddie Murphy goes into the preacher and he becomes the preacher and he's like, evil is good. You know, evil is good. Like, you know, evil is good. And that whole fucking thing. And it's just like, that's hilarious. Like, the whole thing is just, it's so cheesy, but, you know, and the rib cage joke. You know.
Yes.
Yeah, Mama always said that you know the way to a woman's heart is with church. Actually, it's through the rib cage. But yeah, so
you can't beat John Witherspoon either. He's fucking great. And Angela Bassett, sexy as hell.
Oh yeah,
I actually pulled up some stuff about Vampire in Brooklyn and said Eddie Murphy only did the movie because he had an agreement with Paramount that if he did that movie, they would give him the rights to the Nutty Professor.
Wow. Okay, then.
I'm surprised they made that deal with him.
And they also tricked him into making the movie funny because he wanted it to be serious.
Oh. Wow. It doesn't come off serious at all.
No, not even a little bit.
You know, there's a killer on the loose. Oh, really? What do you know about this? And there's a fucking cobra behind her? Like, you know. There's no taking that movie really that serious at all. And also Eddie Murphy in a mullet.
Oh, he wore the shit out of that mullet
with the little Jerry curl going on. Yeah. Like, it was a good look for him. Like, he pulled that shit off.
It was Van Damme on Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I agree. I think that's a horribly underrated movie.
Yeah, like, I mean, because it sticks to the vampire mythos and all that shit. And it has, like, even like the ending of it is very, actually the last, well, the end of the movie, has a very like Blackula kind of feel to it. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like Vampire in Brooklyn was Wes Craven's Blackula in a lot of ways. It's not one that Wes Craven fans like to mention. But, you know, there's a lot of movies in Wes Craven's, you know, filmography that weren't that great. And this was better than a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
So,
for sure.
Wes always said that it would have been a better movie, but Eddie Murphy was really hard to work with. Mm-hmm. Well, he just pretty much wanted to call the shots, I guess.
Yeah, he wanted it done a certain way.
Yeah. I'd say that Eddie Murphy is difficult to work with, especially if you're. Because Wes Craven was known to be kind of a straightforward director.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I could see them bumping heads.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, like, how the fuck are you going to... You know, it's like, how the fuck are you going to argue with the man that created Freddy Krueger? Then it's just like, well, how the fuck are you going to argue with, you know, one of the biggest fucking comedians, you know?
Right.
And, you know, comedians and actors since the fucking, you know, 80s, you know? two big heads. Doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm. And that's how it was with Eddie and John Landis, too, apparently.
Yeah. I didn't know they got into a full-blown fist fight, though.
Yeah, I didn't know that shit either.
Because they worked together a couple times.
Yeah.
Well, like you said, sometimes you just got to get shit out. I don't know.
I mean, you know, not... Eddie Murphy has known to be one of those guys that he has a big entourage with him wherever he goes. He's got kind of a big fucking head. You know, you think that doing Daycare and a few other movies he did would knock him down a little bit, but you know, Eddie Murphy's still Eddie Murphy, and he's
I remember he did that movie I Spy with Owen Wilson, and I always thought that movie was funny. Like, I know you don't like the Wilson brothers, period.
Oh, God.
But,
look at my nose and how it turns this way. And I saw it, I said the same things over and over again, just like this. It's crazy. Fuck you. Yeah.
Well, it seems like during that time, and for some reason, everybody was doing a buddy movie with Owen Wilson.
This is true.
It's true. Why?
Like, during that 5 year or so period, everybody did one for some reason. Yeah.
Fuck that bullshit.
But it seems like Eddie Murphy's mellowed out a lot. At least it comes off that way. I mean, but like, imagine you're him and you're like on top of the world 1 minute. And then you got one miss after the other, after the other. And then you're on the set of Vampire in Brooklyn. Like, this is the one that's going to bring me back. And they want to make a completely different movie than what you want to make.
Yeah. What was what was that movie he did with Steve Martin?
Bowfinger.
But yeah, Bowfinger. That movie actually cracks my shit up.
I've heard good things about that one. I've never seen it in
the theater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it the greatest? No. Good. But it's like, okay, like, how do I word it? It's one of those comedies that not like people that like, I don't know, intelligent comedy. I don't even say that because Steve Martin is also one of the greatest comedians of all time. But it's like, it's stupid humor completely. The whole movie is like one big gag. It's fun. Put it that way. It's a fun film. Is it a really good comedy? No. Is it a decent one? Yeah. If you're stoned out of your fucking gourd, yeah, you'll laugh your ass off. You know, sometimes that's all it takes. A little dab will do you.
Because he didn't really get another hit until The Nutty Professor.
God, what a horrible movie.
Then he fell off again and didn't have another hit till Shrek, I don't think.
Yeah, oh, fuck, yeah.
He did that Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, and that didn't work. Because for some reason, Disney wanted to turn their rides and attractions into movies.
Yeah.
And they did it with Pirates of the Caribbean, which was a huge hit. But then they did the Haunted Mansion, which didn't come anywhere near to touching the Pirates movie.
Yeah.
Haunted Mansion is it's a fun family film. You know, that's the problem when it comes down to like Eddie Murphy being, you know, one of the most explicit comedians, you know, of all time. You know, not giving a fuck and being, you know, whatever the fuck. And but like, there's certain movies that he's done, and there's a lot of comedians and stuff that have done the same thing. Mm-hmm. And you know, and whatever, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do. But you can tell when a comedic actor of his stature is going into a film almost forced. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, okay, no matter if it's like forced by money or, you know, whatever kind of agreement, whatever the fuck. And that's, you know, a lot of those movies that he did is just like, there's no way in fuck this was your idea. And if it was, ugh. But he's not, you know, Eddie Murphy. He's not really family friendly. That's the weird thing about him. Mm-hmm. He's not really a family friendly comedian at all. I would not sit in the room and watch Raw, you know, with my kids sitting there. You know? Mm-hmm. No fucking way. Was he? You know, was he a great? I don't know. I don't know when the last time his stand up was, but is one of the best comedians. Bar none.
I know there for a while he was saying he was doing more family films because his kids were younger. And then once they got older, he said that he's starting to get a little more dirty. Because I know, like, he did that This Is Dolomite, like the remake of Dolomite. That shit was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't bad at all.
Like, I don't think I saw that.
Original Dolomites. But.
And I never saw it, but apparently he was up for an Oscar for Dreamgirls.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everyone thought he was going to win, but he didn't, unfortunately.
Eddie Murphy has the kind of pull in Hollywood. I mean, that, like, you know, like I said, he was the original Dave Chappelle, which is weird to say because, I mean, Dave Chappelle is his own fucking, like, person, you know, obviously, but very similar, you know, very similar in styles and the not giving a fuck aspect of stuff. You know, I think it'd be kind of cool if Eddie Murphy did a stand-up special for Netflix or some shit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, let's see if you still got it. You know what I mean? I think he'd probably get up there and still own it just like he always did. You know?
If he would do that, I guarantee, well, I can't say guarantee, but I have a weird feeling like he would probably try to break back out the leather suit just for fucking shits and giggles because everybody.
Yes, he totally would. It would be a nostalgic thing. He totally would.
Oh, he could rock. I mean, he made a comedian's. He was the first rock star comedian.
Yeah.
And so many people were influenced by that. Even that intro, I think it was to Raw when he's like walking down the aisle and all this. I think Chris Rock ripped that off directly in one of his specials. He's walking down the aisle almost getting ready for a fight, it looks like. He's like
sucking. Oh, yeah.
I think one of Chris Rock's specials, he did that very same thing.
That wouldn't surprise me at all. Me and Chris Rock don't see how to. He did that Spiral movie, and I was like, "Yep, I'm done with you."
I still haven't seen it. I've been told to avoid it.
Sam Jackson doesn't even save it.
Was the shit.
It's not good.
Oh yeah, that was a good movie actually. He didn't do a whole lot in it.
What was it?
In that movie,
Lethal Weapon 4.
Which one was it? Was it Lethal Weapon 4 where he's like, your baby's having my baby's baby? Yeah, or whatever. Yeah. Okay, he was funny in that. I will give him that. He was funny in that. And
I didn't even learn how to walk till I was 10 years old. I grew up on the floor.
Chris Rock. We're never doing a Chris Rock episode. Or Chris Tucker. I'm just going to go ahead and say it right now.
We'll probably do a Lethal Weapon episode, but
I could see that.
I could be okay with that, actually. But I've been needing to, you know, I've got them on VHS. I need to get them back out.
I'm surprised they haven't made any more of those.
They're supposed to.
Well, there was
I tried watching that series, and that shit was terrible.
I didn't even bother.
I'm
supposed to direct it now because Richard Donner passed away. God, that's been a year or two. But at first, the new Beverly Hills Cop was supposed to go to Netflix, but he signed that deal with Amazon. So I don't know what's gonna. I don't know where it's going now. But
it should go to Peacock.
Go to the cock.
It should go to Peacock. Peacock is the business.
Beverly Hills Cock.
Beverly Hills Cock. I'm pretty sure that's a movie, Chad.
probably is.
Yeah, that's something else about Eddie Murphy though. He might actually be a vampire. He doesn't seem to age. He looks the fucking same.
He's aged quite well.
Yeah, I'm sure he's probably had
for a guy that has 10 kids on top of everything else.
God damn.
Oh, Jesus.
Is it 8 or 10?
Well, money.
Well,
money.
Too many.
Either one, yeah.
Either way, it's too many. It's like 8 or 10 kids too many for me.
God. I'll stick to the 2 that I have. I don't know if I can do anymore. I don't know. It would take that real special lady. That would just.
So you're saying no?
Yeah.
I don't think they exist.
At this point, nah. Nope. I think I'm good on that aspect of things.
No doubt.
Well, there you go. Eddie Murphy.
So what is this, episode 36?
This is 36. Oh, God.
Wow. Wow.
Next week's episode is number 37, so that'll be Kevin Smith night.
A very special episode next week.
Okay.
In tribute to Mr. 37.
And with Clerks 3 just coming out, man, Clerks I can't talk to 3
just
tonight.
Came out.
Is that on Peacock?
But anyway, so make sure you kids join us next week. Does anybody have anything going on? Plug away.
Bastard Sons of a Judas Goat. We are playing Mountains of Metal number 7. We played the number 2 Mountains of Metal while back, and we're back on the Mountains of Metal. There's flyers and shit on our Facebook page if you go to that and check it all out. A lot of good bands, 2 days, good stuff. Camping. That's about it. Oh, wait, no, I can't forget one other thing. I am a part of Tales from the Podcast, and we have a comic book. My comic book is Tales of Shock and Terror, and you can order that on talesfromthepodcast.com. You can find about the podcast as well as where to buy the comic. And JB, who is one of the writers and main host of Tales from the Podcast, him and Josh Nealis from Cutthroat Comics are doing a signing somewhere. I can't remember where, but if you go to the Tales from the Podcast Facebook page, it's on there. If you know me, it's on my page too. But if you don't, sit the fuck away. What the fuck are you doing? Don't bother me. Just kidding. You can bother me. But yeah, that's about it at this moment in time. Recording a lot of music. And just staying fresh.
Funky fresh with funky freshmen.
Thank you again for joining us. Make sure you tune in next week where we'll be doing a Kevin Smith special. But for now, we are your video store clerks. I'm Dave.
Chapman.
I'm Chuck.
Thank you again. And good night.
Amazing.
It's not a legacy I want to leave behind, but I am Chuck Nasty.
How the fuck am I out of this place already today?
This shit can't be any fucking good.
This is Video Store Clerks. All movies. All the time. Welcome to the store.